With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
To let Kofi know that you cannot just say that we, as a result of free SH experience, are rather paying more. That would be a very simplistic analysis for anybody to make. And again, is that also not the more reason why? That some way, somehow, government may also have to intervene and even reduce their burden. That is why I've always insisted that it all boils down to how you see the free SHS policy. Whether you see it as an investment policy or you see it as a policy of expenditure. If you see it as an investment policy, your narrative, your thinking, your embracing of the policy will be different from how you see it when you consider it as an expenditure. Of course, I have heard sections of Ghanaians saying that other sectors of the economy probably is not doing well because they believe that a lot of monies are being channeled into the free SHS policy. But look, what occasioned the free SHS even in the first place? You see, we've always made a point, and that has been the significant point from the education minister, Dr. Yosedukim. He said that education is largely anchored on three key variables. The first one is access. The second has to do with quality. And then the third has to do with relevance. And when you talk about relevance, we are talking about the impact of education on the socio-economic transformation. So we have to situate all this conversation in that right proper or that very proper context. How do we situate it in the context? The context is, what is the link of education and socio-economic transformation as a people? Are we ready to transform our fortunes as a people? Are we ready to change as a people? Are we ready to boost our economy as a people? Those are the fundamental questions that we have to ask. If the answer is in the affirmative, yes, then the principle is, how then do we get there? We can only get there through investing in education. So from us, from the Ministry of Education, and of course the President of Ghana, the free SHS policy is an investment policy. Investment in the areas of assets. Because, I mean, if you look at the enrollment data, for instance, if you look at 2014, for instance, 2014, in terms of the number of students that were placed, that is about 386,412.
Okay.
Out of this number, only 273,152, represents about 70.69%,
actually went
to school and enrolled. Okay. Now, compare this same figure to 2023. In 2023, 554,034 SHS students were placed. And out of this number, you have 504,580 apparently taking up the admission and getting enrolled. That's about 91.7%. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, beyond even the percentage statistics, let me make it in simple terms for you. Before the free SHS policy, every year, when students graduate from BEC and they have to go to proceed to the senior high schools, at least you have a minimum of 100,000 students that were denied access to higher education, of course, largely because of these cost barriers that we've already highlighted. Mm. And even the number of students that also proceeds to the senior high schools, by the time they get to second, you have about 20% of them dropping. So at least virtually, we look into the faces of ordinary Ghanaians, children. Of course, the strategy has always been that you use, barriers like your grading system. Mm-hmm. You put a mark or a benchmark on it. If you do not get A grade or B grade, you are not eligible to go to school, instead of probably giving them opportunity to justify themselves. So every year, as a country, we look into the faces of more than 100,000 Ghanaian youth, Ghanaian students, and just deny them access to education. Now, I've already indicated that the whole essence of education is the relevance of it, the link between education and socioeconomic transformation. As I speak with you, our gross tertiary enrollment ratio just went about 20%. And all over the world, no country has ever developed without their gross tertiary enrollment ratio hitting about 40% mark. Where are you going to get the students moving up to the tertiary level? They obviously have to come from the second basic school level to the secondary level and to the tertiary level. Every country that has developed in this world, at least their gross tertiary enrollment ratio, the mark is about 40%. You look at Botswana, 40%. You look at America, 76%. You look at Singapore, 40%. You look at South Korea, around 96%. These are countries that have developed. And you sit here in Ghana and make an argument that you are going to compete with these countries at a time where your gross tertiary enrollment ratio is still less than 20%. Of course, it's recently that we were able to boost it more than 20%. So what essentially means is that we had a very long way to go. But of course, a president comes in, he's saying that I'm going to intervene using the leapfrog approach to make sure that we give a lot of access so that we also be able to get more people to enter the tertiary, increase our gross tertiary enrollment ratio. Then you have an impact on the relevance, and bingo, you hit the socioeconomic transformation that the country is looking at. Mm. So, like I indicated, it depends on all how you see it. Of course, I am also not oblivious of the fact that you also have to look at the quality component. Okay. Because the fact that you are talking about access does not necessarily mean that you just have to be producing anything. Because if you are talking about access and the kind of graduates you are churning out are not the best, essentially, obviously, it's going to have an impact on your socioeconomic transformation that you are looking at. Mm-hmm. So yes, concerns about quality that has been raised, is they are very legitimate concerns and ought to be looked at. But for me, I would say that as a people, certainly we are not obviously where we have to be, mm-hmm. but where we used to be to, we are certainly not there. Because for instance, if you look at all the in terms of even the phrase such as the outcome, 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023, you realize that the free access graduates are the only years in the past 9 years that more than 50% of the candidates obtained A1 to C6. So there has been significant boost. Today, just last year, looking at Northern Region having enrollment of about 91%, unprecedented, the highest. So yes, on the face value, just like any other policies, if you give me pen and paper to less challenges we have in other sectors of the economy, everybody is going to get for you. Mm. So a lot of the challenges, I want us to situate this within the proper context, that these challenges were not occasioned necessarily by the free SHS. Mm. If for any other reason we should see any free SHS in any light, it should be in the light of an investment. Of course, I have listened in London to other presenters making a case that we should be able to target, students and parents who are poor and provide those poor interventions to them. But of course, a country that has not even gotten that very concrete and right database to be able to distinguish the salaries, particularly within those in the informal category, how do you then look into somebody's face and said, I'm going to deny you education because I know the tax component your father is paying, or I know the salary or the profit that your father is making at the expense of others? So it has to be a very aggressive intervention to be able to make sure that we get to the level that we are.
Let me bring in Dr. Mantebia Boy here. Doc, so did you rush in making senior high school free?
That's a big one. I think that we have heard a lot so far. Mm. Probably looking back, maybe things could have been done a little differently. I don't know whether we could have piloted a bit to see how it goes and then we scale it up nationally. I mean, that would have been an option. But then again, here we are, and we have heard of all the successes that have come out of the policy that has been made. And indeed, everybody here has acknowledged that it's been largely successful, but it has not been without the challenges that have been mentioned. And definitely, we are seeing those challenges because of how it was implemented too. So where do we move from here? I think that it's time for us to sit together, have the right people, all stakeholders together to have conversations. Definitely, everybody wants all children to have good access to education. We want them to be able to do well. But then parents are stakeholders, teachers are stakeholders, the government is also a major stakeholder. We are seeing that these are some of the problems that are coming out of this policy that has been implemented over the years. How do we move forward from here? The other issue, if you look at the video that was shared, the documentary that was shared, you can see that a lot of people were going anonymous. People are afraid. Some people are afraid to speak up openly. We have heard some cases in the media about people being removed and all that from office and all that. So there should be openness. There should be a lot of transparency, because there's something that affects all of us. And indeed, there are parents who are unable to afford, rightly so, and there are some who say that they are willing to pay so that their children do not suffer hunger in schools, or the overcrowding and all that does not become a problem. So if we have a platform where all these people have a voice, there is where we will find all the solutions, rather than, well, again, because it's been so highly politicized, but we all have to move away from there. Everybody has applauded the president for, and the government for, this initiative, as it's been a very good one. But as the challenges have arisen, we all need to own up and see the way forward. Remove some of the politics, or all of the politics if possible, because the country should have an agenda or a national plan for development that is not like partisan. So once we all know that this is what we want as a people, then it doesn't matter who is saying what. We will have to look at the facts as it is and see what the problem is. If looking at the challenges that have arisen, we think that, okay, more day schools may work for certain areas, then we can look at it scientifically and arrive at solutions to the problems or the issues that are arising. If food is the problem, how do we get more food to these schools? If funding is the problem, how do we get funding for these schools? Rather than all this fear, you know, in some cases, because then it's as if, well, if it smells like a duck, it walks like a duck, then it must be a duck, and a double double, it must be a duck. You see, so everybody is saying there are challenges. So we need to just come together, and government is in the right place to say that, let's look at this, let's review it. And it may cost, nothing good comes free. You know, there have been some sacrifices, but we've made a lot of progress with this. And we can see that people are committed to having children have access. So that is not of question. That is not in question at all. Everybody wants children to have access to education. So now, where do we move from here?
Okay. Interesting perspectives there. Let me go to the
a reaction on the fear bit. Just a quick reaction on
it.
On the fear bit.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Let me bring in the tertiary education workers. You want me to allow him?
Yes.
Tewu, you want me to allow him to do that?
Let him come.
I should do that for you.
Quickly on the fear bit. Of course, you see, from the Ministry of Education, we take every criticism as a positive feedback to improve what we are doing to make sure the policy thrives and become very sustainable. A lot of times when particularly the media brings an information out, when we ask you to give, for instance, list of schools or naming, we want to make it clear that it is not as though we want to witch hunt or victimize any person. And I've always insisted that in many cases where these claims are made, I've always asked that, has there been any single headmaster who has been sacked or demoted or punished just because the person came out?
But in the press, we read statements where a headmaster has been asked to probably proceed on leave or has been transferred.
Can I land? I'm not sure. The suggestion is also that because there is a free SHS policy
in terms of internal disciplinary measures, we should just keep quiet on it. Because look, there was a case in WAS. That's why you see, the point I want to make is that we should take these cases in isolated basis and just treat them that, well, this headmaster was relieved of this position or demoted, and what was the reasons ascribed to it? Because for me, if indeed headmasters are afraid to speak, what also happens to their own associations like NAGRAT, CHAS, NAT, and CCT, which has become more or less the official spokesperson of these head teachers in all. So when we create an, you see, a lot of times, for instance, Joy did a documentary. I'm London, but it's very important that Ghanaians know. Because you said we are closing at 9, so don't worry. Joy did a documentary.
The other issues that we need to talk about. we need to talk about.
Dr. Park, I'm London. For instance, you did a documentary. And our first comment was that, can we get a list of the schools and intervene? Then the response is that when we give you the list of the schools, you are going to punish the teachers. You see, I feel that a lot of times too, it may also be a way to run away from responsibility. Because ultimately, if you don't give us the list of the schools, how do we then resolve
it?
Who is
running away from responsibility?
I don't know. Because particularly a lot of the claims, fact that you bring a claim does not mean that such a claim cannot be interrogated. But I'm saying that there has not been a single instance where any head teacher has been victimized or demoted on account of speaking on free SHS policy.
If we dwell here, we might not proceed. So you let's move on. I'm sure that when time comes, we can be.
You think Charles will sit there? NAGRAT will sit there? CDC will sit there?
Don't worry, we'll come there. Let me bring in the Tertiary Education Workers Union president, chairman. Teachers and Education Workers Union, Mr. Ambrose Kojoja. Yes.
Thank you very much. So the free SHS, as all the panelists acknowledge, is a nice policy. It's a very good policy. Me personally, it helped me in my community.
Okay.
So it's a very good policy to remove cost barrier to enable all students of school-going age to access.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Los mejores viajes nacen en la carretera, pero este comenzará en tu mente. ¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500. Hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
And technical education. Very good. But there is so much cost that is associated with the free SHS that government has put on itself. And then I must state beforehand that the free has not been fair to all Ghanaians.
The free hasn't been fair to all Ghanaians.
How? I want to state it. That is, every Ghanaian would want to be a boarding student. Every Ghanaian student would have wanted to be in the boarding school. But because it is not fair to everybody, it's not all that have access to boarding school. If you come to Accra in particular, there are students who commute from Kasua and other places to very far schools and pay a lot of money for the transportation. They spend hours in traffic, 2 hours in, 2 hours back. So if you put all those things into perspective, you see that the phrase HS poverty has not been fair to all Ghanaians. Mm. And some of those people are the people from very poor home. We happen to make journey to some of their homes, it is horrible. And there are the people who are rather disadvantaged, commuting daily from a very far places to institutions that they want to go to. That is why I made their statement. So if somebody will be kept in the boarding house and fed three times, and somebody who commutes daily to school and back is fed once, mm. then you can tell me that already the cost barrier that you want to eliminate has been embedded on the person who is commuting from house and back. Mm. The person feed himself two times, he takes transportation in and out, he does all of that things that is supposed to be done. So the burden on that person is heavier than the people who are in the boarding house.
But should I, is that a major, because, is that a major issue? Because, if you look at it, before SHS, before free SHS, people were still commuting from wherever to other schools.
Mostly it was a choice then, because people are not able to pay the boarding fee at a go. So they decide to be commuting, so at least every day when a market to my money to sell something, is able to give something to the son or daughter to go to school and back. Yes. But now, once it is free and boarding is free, let everybody benefit from what is free to all Ghanaians. That is what I want to say. Mm. Then, with the introduction of the free SHS and the population in the schools has put much more burden on infrastructure. Those days when schools vacate for about 2 or 3 months, and schools actually hire the premises to other people and use the money out of their hiring expenses to maintain the infrastructure. So when the students come back, there is freshness in the system. We use that same money to fumigate the schools. But now all those things are not existing. The burden of using the equipment daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis is embedding the infrastructure. Let us not forget, these schools have been established years ago, 100 years, 60 years, 70 years, 50 years. So the items used in establishing the schools, most of them have deteriorated. And we are dealing with adolescent children. Mm. The other time I visited a school in the classroom, the students were sitting on the tables. There was no teacher at that time. So I say, you don't sit on table. Why do you sit on table? So he sat and shaking the table anyhow. So I control them and they have to sit in their chairs. Mm. So these are some of the destructive elements we have among the teens. They destroy at will. So, and then the cost that we are talking about, that there is so much about cost barrier. I mentioned that funds are not being released to the school on the radio they are dying. And then my brother, I'm here. I'm happy he's here today. So today we'll do reconciliation. We'll do reconciliation. Yes, yes, we'll do that. Yeah. Mm. So you see, monies are not being released in respect of sanitation because it's a huge cost in schools. And then if you don't take care of sanitation, then we are endangering the students' life.
That's true.
In the institutions. Mm. Do you see? Mm. As we are talking now, per record, government pay 1 cedi 50 pesos for sanitation per student. But the cost of sanitation at a point, I mean, you cannot even recount it, is huge. So government has to consider that price.
Okay.
1 cedi 50 pesos per student for sanitation a semester. Mm. It is unacceptable.
Okay. So it has to be reviewed.
That is just your review. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Then you move to maintenance. Mm. Maintenance of
briefly
infrastructure,
for me,
yes,
we need
briefly.
To move on.
Mm. Because there is no money coming in respect of maintenance, electricity bulbs, plumbing items, and all other things that we can talk about, they are all falling apart.
Okay.
Yes, so I want to bring that to the notice of this discussion.
Mm. You don't have monies for maintenance in here. I'll let all of you have a bite of. I mean, you have a point there, just note it for me. But on the point of victimization, because we have the CHAS president with us, I want us to go to him so that we can really understand him. He's the National Secretary of CHAS. Primus, I mean, his point is that Nobody is victimized for speaking up on free SHS policy. You are there. What's your viewpoint on that as well?
Sammy, a very slippery question. being a national secretary and for that matter a national executive, maybe I will cite an example that is closer to me. I wish I were asked to come with a list or some reported or allegations of victimizations in the past, not necessarily in the present, but since the implementation of the Free Senior High School. Things may seemingly or may apparently look quite smooth now because of, as compared to the initial stages of the implementation of the Free Senior High School. I want to be very frank with you, especially at the very beginning of the implementation. Like I indicated, unfortunately, I'm not being able to gather data, but there are in the history of the implementation, there have been instances where under normal circumstances, certain utterances made by individual heads or certain actions should not have been as serious as it. Let me give you a very, and I started by saying that I'll give you an example where I myself am involved. In 2020, when we went to Western Region for our conference, and we I think we had it at Archbishop Bishop Porter's Senior High School in Tari. In the welcome address of our president, that Alhaji AB Abubakar, he's the immediate past headmaster for AMAS in Kumasi. He just handed over to Reverend Father Stephen, my current headmaster. Just a remark that the free HSS policy needed to be reviewed. It was a big problem. And I now laugh over it because, over the years, the wounds have been healed and, we were summoned. And I'm being very serious about it. Just the use of the word review. That time, Alhaji, like I indicated, was the president. Kwame Edumi was secretary. I was the vice secretary. Dr. Shine, who is headmistress for West African Senior High School in Accra, there, was the treasurer. Mr. Fiamawel, the Accra Academy headmaster,
you were summoned because you used the word review.
Just the word review.
And what happened?
And there are subtle ways. There are occasions. I'm sure if you open the WhatsApp line and ask headmasters to indicate various ways in which some people have been intimidated in one way or the other by making certain utterances, by taking certain actions, the number of responses you get will be enormous. That is not to suggest in any way that in every society there are the badness. Some have acted in a way and a manner which cannot be justified in any way. In any case, we're always the first people to consider. But to totally say that victimization had not existed or it didn't happen in one way or the other, I don't know. But for me, I think in one way or the other, unfortunately, it happened. And I may not be able to give you the statistics now, but it really happened. I tell you that even this, this program when it was advertised, if I tell you the number of cautions that I got, I say, oh no, but it is not like what you rightly put it. I don't think I'm coming to a slaughterhouse. I'm only coming to air my views, or not my even my personal view, but a view of Charles, which in any case is nothing new. Anyway, it's nothing new. We have heard it over the years. We have engaged with Kwating. So it is not something. It's not something that is easily heard these days. But I can tell you, as a national executive behind the doors, we've gone into pleats. Okay. On a number of occasions for some simple things. So it's not as easy as
okay.
that.
Okay.
It's not for nothing that people speak on an animosity. So we cannot throw it away overboard. It is there, but maybe it's been reducing over the years up to now. And sometimes it's understood.
Okay.
Because, right.
Okay.
I leave it there.
Grateful to you, Primus Barrow there. Let me bring in Dr. Park.
Because for these days.
Let me bring in Dr. Park here. Because Dr. Park, have these things been brought to your attention?
Where I sit? I can tell you, I know of many, many instances where heads of institutions have been penalized
these days.
Look, make no mistake, the culture of silence is real. I mean, this is a whole nut, Charles Secretary. who is even cautious, and he was cautioned before he came onto the program. We all remember, you know, Osu Prisek, what happened to the headmaster when, you know, the students were sitting on, I believe, plastic chairs, was it, stones, and he said the parents should provide furniture and they bought plastic chairs. Even a group of headmasters, head teachers, filed a case against the Ghana Education Service. So the culture of silence is real. There are many, many, many people who are still afraid and intimidated to speak freely about the challenges.
Okay.
Look, your own documentary that you did, why did you do undercover? I tell you that if the ministry or GES had foreknowledge that you were going to go to those schools where you went to investigate and present us with visuals and commentaries, real life narrations of what we've known all along in the format that you did, there is no way you would have been given permission to do that. So that in itself should tell you that the freedom to speak freely and to advocate and to bring the issues to bear, particularly for those who are mandated to manage the school, is not there. And that is a fact.
Okay.
If they can do better, well and good. Okay. But he shouldn't deny.
Okay.
People still feel intimidated speaking about the challenges bedeviling the Free National School policy. And if you allow me for my second round, should I continue?
No. When we come, you'll bring in more of those issues.
Very well. I just extracted a document.
Okay. All right. When we come back, you bring up all of it. Because when I come back, I'll let you address
it. On this one.
Exactly.
You have
the chance to address it. This is still the Joy News National Dialogue on the Free SHS Promise. Let me share with you WhatsApp line. You can send in your thought. We'll share those thoughts with the rest of our viewers and listeners as well on radio. The WhatsApp line is 11 11 99 7 0 5 5 11 11 99 7 11 11. Makes me remember a Yokogari joint in Takrady. 11 11. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Stay with us.
Welcome to Landmark Furniture, your go-to destination for quality and affordability. At Landmark, we believe everyone deserves stylish pieces without compromising on quality. Imagine sinking into our plush sofas after a long day. Ah, the chains are deep. Pure bliss. And our beds? They are just not for sleep. They are for rejuvenation. Visit our showroom at Batrona Spintex. Whether it's your home, office, or that cozy corner you love, Landmark Furniture has something special just for you.
I found the perfect sofa for my living room.
So why settle for less? Visit Landmark Furniture today. Call us on 050-033-0005. Remember, Landmark Furniture, where value meets quality.
Usually, we get special treatment only on our birthday.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500, hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
But imagine getting a special package every single day. That's what AT's Daily Deals gives you. You get unique voice and data deals exclusive to you. What's even better is it's affordable, reliable, and available. Start experiencing AT's Daily Deals. Dial *533# today and every single day. When you do, you'll unlock exclusive data and voice packages valid for 24 hours.
Come on, people. Jump on the 80 Daily Deals train. When are we dealing now? Dial *533# now and access awesome data and voice deals only from AT. Life is simple.
Dive into a new era of news consumption with MyJoyOnline.com, your go-to destination for cutting-edge journalism, giving you the most credible stories from business to politics and from sports to entertainment. MyJoyOnline.com introduces an upgraded news website meticulously designed to empower you with an enriched browsing experience like never before. Experience the future of news browsing with MyJoyOnline.com.
Time as so, time as so. We need signature no dada. Afi, yani down se kwa kwana se. Ni adi abutre ne tu fa. Sao prono madi afro kwa obi pono. Ayo dupwa we start 2024. Easter Friday 29th no. Yabe wa 590 mobile. Ni kid soccer league one. Bomi yes 20th na se live. Saturday 30th March no no pa. Kwa unkro no debe wani wa sempe from kwa Easter games na se. Oh, bomi yes 20th na so. Powered by 590 mobile ni kid. Sunday 31st March. Ano pano. Winners of kwa Easter game. And the 590 mobile ni kid soccer league no. Bomi jebe wani ya miye wu champion. Of champions. I have been passed for me as to telephone. And DJ, I'm doomed for Easter 2024. Follow your way on social media platforms. I won't run into the feeling you're going to go in. Hashtag, I'm doomed for Easter.
Ago. Me hearing your wawa too. Can bagana nyon, your joy.
Akwabo.
Miawezolo, miawezo.
Mama wana akwabo.
Akwabo.
Barka da zuwa watan kasan Ghana. Anan gidan Radio Joy.
Obenim busumi, eye Ghana busumi.
Miawezo va Ghana month jilla Joy 99.7 FM.
Akwaba, eba Ghana month on Joy.
Mima be akwaba, wa Ghana siyani lile yazo, wa Joy. We invite all of you to join us this March as we celebrate Ghana here on Joy 99.7 FM.
During this Ghana month, you will be treated to our history, tourism, arts and culture,
our music, our food, language, beliefs, and all that makes us unique as a people.
Right here on Joy 99.7 FM. You'll also get to tell us stories about your region, town or village and why we should make it a destination.
Celebrating our uniqueness as a people.
Ghana Month on Joy FM.
Ghana Month on Joy.
Ghana Month on Joy.
Ghana Month on Joy.
Ghana Month on Joy is brought to you by Dodi World. Dream, discover, explore. Woodin. Step into elegance this March with Woodin by immersing yourself in the stunning mosaic collection. A true tribute to Ghana's vibrant culture. Vibe Ghana, Vibe Woodin. Deep Solar Ghana. Don't let power outages hold you back any longer. Visit www.deepsolarghana.com or call 0595-494-113 to learn more. Coronation Insurance. Individuals, companies, insure your motors with Coronation. Coronation Insurance. Insurance for everything. Ghana Month on Joy. Joyously Ghanaian.
Ghana, we now have freedom.
Dive into a new era of news consumption with MyJoyOnline.com, your go-to destination for cutting-edge journalism, giving you the most credible stories from business to politics and from sports to entertainment. MyJoyOnline.com introduces an upgraded news website meticulously designed to empower you with an enriched browsing experience like never before. Experience the future of news browsing with MyJoyOnline.com.
Roverman Productions, in partnership with National Theatre.
Every time I hear the joy of name.
Chris Morris, and I say keep on listening to Joy 99.7 FM. Morris, and I say keep on listening to Joy 99.7 FM.
Joy Business, in partnership with the National Insurance Commission and its allied partners, presents the Joy Business NIC Insurance Dialogue. The dialogue forms part of Joy Business's Economic Forum series, which will be on the theme Improving Ghana's Insurance Ecosystem, Demystifying Negative Perceptions. Guests: Michael Kofi Andor, Acting Commissioner of Insurance; Ashaibwa Lee, President, Insurance Brokers Association of Ghana; Seth Aklasi, Ghana Insurers Association; Solomon Latte, President, Chartered Insurance Institute of Ghana; Lena Edukofi, President, Women in Insurance Network of Ghana. Date: Tuesday, 26th March 2024. Time: 1 p.m. The program will be live on radio on your superstation, Joy 99.7 FM, on the Joy News channel on TV, as well as Joy Business socials. The Joy Business NIC Dialogue on Insurance is brought to you by the National Insurance Commission, with support from the Ghana Insurers Association, the Chartered Insurance Institute of Ghana, the Women in Insurance Network of Ghana, and the Insurance Brokers Association of Ghana.
The station with the best music.
I love the music.
Best music.
Joy 99.7 FM.
Keep this frequency clear.
All right, so welcome back to the Joy News National Dialogue, the Free SHS Promise. This is also live on radio, Joy 99.7 FM, around the world on myjoyonline.com and on our social media platforms. So you can share your thought with us via WhatsApp line 055 11 11 997. So do share your thought, and we'll share that with the rest of our viewers and listeners. Well, Kwesi, let me start with you. You had some point to make.
I think everything said is good. My only concern is that, particularly on starting from the whole point about victimization, I believe that we should be very mindful and careful not to promote a culture where we may be turning our schools into, let's say, press centers. You see, if you look at the structure of Ghana Education Service, which happens to be the agency responsible for the management of the pre-tertiary space, there is a defined structure of communication, whether reporting or complaining on any issue that has come into the school. Of course, coming from the district directory level to the regional directory level, even up to the GES level, and even the Ministry of Education, too, there are also channels of communication. You see, it's almost becoming like it's only in government of Ghana, when government of Ghana happens to be the employer and the other being employees, that is where we feel that there is that liberty to speak any subject matter. Of course, I mean, that level of freedom, because the entire motive is to make sure that we strengthen the free SHS policy, but we have to be very mindful and strike the balance. Because if you are not very careful, any person gets out to speak, especially when the policy is a policy that is, the background or the backdrop came from a bit of some, political or gives some level of political leverage to a politically exposed person. If you are not very careful, you may get a day where a teacher feels like
I want to say this, a student feel like I want to say this, any other person feel like I want to say this, and that may not work out. So that balance should be there.
Okay.
I also want to comment on, I think you raised a point about the boarding issues, that the Fraser's policy is rather not being fair. But I want to take the opportunity to briefly explain the placement exercise.
Okay.
You see, if you look at this year, the placement statistics that we had, for instance, 2023, for instance, we had about 634,540 declared vacancies. Out of this, only 477,772 vacancies were filled. So there was even an excess of 156,748. So most times, if a student complains that he was not placed in, let's say, a boarding house or a school, largely is based on choice. Because if you look at available vacancies, it's even more than the numbers that were even available. So,
you're saying that all of them could have been admitted?
Yes, it's largely based on choice. Because if you look at the placement regime, nobody imposes a choice on you. You are eligible to make a choice based on the program you want to offer in terms of residential status, even in terms of the school that you want to go. So there can be situations where you even have a school with low enrollment, but other school, particularly the highly subscribed schools, actually being stacked. So it is not a situation of, for instance, the non-availability of space. It has more to do with choice. So that clarification ought to be made. And of course, I think there was also a point on pressure on infrastructure. I get it. I get the point that my senior was making. But largely, you see, largely, you see, that is the general rule. The general rule is that as soon as all over the world access increases, there is pressure on infrastructure. And even sometimes to a larger extent, even outcome actually reduces or comes down. But you see, in the case of Ghana, we were very proactive and novel, particularly with the introduction of the double track system. It's the reverse was, however, true in our case. Because in the case of Ghana, what we did was that we were able to defy gravity. Because if we have, for instance, 5,000 students that ordinarily have to be in school, with the introduction of the double track, it means that at every point you have about 2,500 students being in school. Also creating more space, more room, reducing the pressure on the infrastructure, at the same time making sure that you have increased access. Of course, in terms of the quality, the outcome speaks for itself. So every discussion has to be situated in that very right context where the statistics also guide us with what we see.
Okay, all right. Grateful to you. Now, let's come into the issues confronting the implementation. And I want to start with Primus, because they, as we said, they are the grassroots implementers of the policy. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Primus is National Secretary of Charles. Primus, having implemented this policy for a while, challenges confronting this? We've gone out there, we've heard a lot of people talk about feeding. What are the situation on the ground? Challenges confronting this. We've gone out there, we've heard a lot of people talk about feeding. Primus, what are the situation on the ground? Hello, Primus. A lot of people talk
I'm online.
I'm asking that since we've implemented this for some time, you are the grassroots implementers. We've heard people talk about the fact that feeding is a challenge, infrastructure. What's the situation in terms of the challenges confronting the implementation of this SHS policy?
Los mejores viajes nacen en la carretera, pero este comenzará en tu mente. ¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? Ya estás preparado para vivir tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500. Hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.
Yes. Unfortunately, the network is just gone terrible. I think this is a very interesting part, but I don't know whether you're hearing me. I'm not getting you at all.
I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you, Primus.
Okay, okay. Now it's come back. So let me get your question again.
So I wanted you to share with us, I mean, the main challenges confronting the implementation. We've heard people talk about the fact that feeding is a major challenge. You are there. What's the situation like?
Yes. Certainly, there's no smoke without fire. If people are talking about feeding as one of the major challenges that is confronting free HHS, it could not have come from the sky. Remember, people are parents. We have millions, as many as the number of students who are in the senior high school. You have almost equal number being parents out there, citizens of Ghanaians being out there. And every parent is genuinely concerned about a feeding problem. Anybody who will say that we don't have a challenge with feeding will not be a very accurate information you are giving out there. And like I indicated, all the issues that we have always pointed out is nothing new today. I have in my hand the 20, and I took as late as 2021 up to the latest of all our communiques we have always issued at the end of every conference that we hold. And in 2021, this was the conference communique that was issued in Bolgatanga. And on feeding, in fact, it was a 21-point communique.
Okay.
And I'm sure even all your media house, the ministry, everybody has it. Anytime we issue a communique, we circulate it in that respect.
Mm.
Out of this 21-point communique, four of them were situated on feeding. And what were the issues? Number one, the timeliness, and as of the 21, the issue of timeliness and adequate releases was a big, 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 big challenge. We had instances, and even now, we still have instances where schools were reopened without food. There are instances like that. We also have instances we used to complain bitterly, and let me read this. Timely and adequate releases in respect of funds should always be done, especially before the reopening of schools, to curb the stress of schools reopening without funds and relevant logistics, and the stress of having to squeeze water from rock in order to keep the schools going.
Mm.
The unsatisfactory performance of the buffer store company must be addressed to avoid the poor, unreliable, erratic supply of foodstuff to schools. Indeed, it has to be relooked at and addressed immediately.
Mm.
Then the Ministry of Education, Ghana Education Service, and the relevant allies should immediately review the prices of food items. These have to do with prices of food items. In fact, 2021, we're talking about the issue of looking at the operations of buffer stock. If you run down to 2022, where we held the conference at Koforidua, in fact, in Koforidua, we actually talked about scrapping off the buffer stock completely, because at that time it was very, very, very terrible. Now let me pause here and just send you back a little bit on the history of feeding challenges in schools since the implementation of the free senior high school system.
Mm.
Now, when the free senior high school system was introduced in 2017,
mm-hmm.
2017, 2018, 2019. Some of these challenges were existent, but they were not so profound. They were not very.
Well, so that's Primus Barrow. He is National Secretary of CHAS. Well, we'll still get him back on the line because he was giving us a lot of issues. So we'll get Primus back so we can have that
chat. I think I...
Okay,
good. Somewhere
exactly, line. Primus. He has to continue for us. Let's hear you.
Oh,
Primus, your line is okay. We can hear you clearly.
Wow.
Primus, we can hear you clearly. So you can still make your point. Hello, Primus. We can still hear you. I can still hear your background quite clearly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I think I got to a point. I don't know where I lost out, but I got to a point.
Okay,
I was referring. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Since you can,
yes.
You look like you are getting your thought back, so continue.
Yes, so I got to a point where I was trying to give a kind of
historical
and longitudinal analysis of how this food situation has traveled since the implementation of the pre-HHS.
Mm-hmm.
So I was saying that, in fact, from the implementation stage in 2027 up to 2021, these issues about feeding, erratic food supply, inadequate feeding, underweight food supplies, poor quality food, these problems were not very, very, very profound. You could find them in very isolated cases.
Mm.
But from 2021 up to date, it has become more and more profound as compared to the years that I just mentioned earlier on. Mm. Indeed, to the extent that, and I have a letter that I have here, which is dated the 5th of November, 2022,
mm.
just 2022, which we wrote to the Honorable Minister. And in that letter, we cited an instance of what was then existing as emergency food supplies. Emergency food supplies, because at that time, all the contractors who were supplying under the buffer stock system were refusing to supply. All because they indicated that the amounts of money that were paid for the supply of food items fell far below the market price. Mm. So you had a situation where a lot of the suppliers were just refusing to supply. And even those who will supply will come to negotiate, you know, with the school heads and indicate, okay, I've been asked to give you 20 bags of maize and 10 bags of rice. But here is the case, the market price doesn't support what I'm supposed to supply. So I'm going to give you 5%. Now, here is a headmaster who sits down, and for the whole of that week, he hasn't had any rice to feed his students. He hasn't got any maize to feed his students. So some of them, because of this, and sometimes, you see, there's a saying in my language that the one who sees the fire on the mountain is the one who must go and fetch it. At a distance, it's very easy to say that, oh, once the items were not, they didn't meet the specifications, don't receive. But here you are looking at your students in the face who have not fed themselves for about, in fact, in some instances, I can tell you in authority that there were instances, and there are still instances, where schools had to jump meals. What it means is that you will take breakfast, you will jump lunch and take supper.
Wow.
If it's even for a day, and I can tell you, I won't mention names for now, that it has happened. This is just to tell you how HES have been working under the circumstances in all these years just to keep things going.
Mm.
And I can tell you there are also instances that, let me tell you, and I'll give you a very good example. And I always want to cite, I'm more comfortable with citing my own examples, which is very verifiable, and it is nothing new. I can tell you, for example, that as I speak, for example, that apart from maize, I don't have anything now, currently, today, as I said, that will feed. Yes, I'm telling you, I'm mentioning my school. Last week, we received some food stuff, and we got maize so much. We didn't receive rice. So I'm telling you that until yesterday, when I had to fall on my PTA to give me some rice, I just came from Accra Sunday. I was in Accra, and I was trying to find out what's happening. The students have been eating. They will eat TZ in the afternoon and eat TZ in the evening.
Right.
And don't forget that they will take cocoa, because there is no Tom Brown. I don't have Tom Brown. I don't have chocolate. They will take cocoa in the morning. So it is maize soup. Now, one of the problems associated with this kind of thing is that, number one, the menu. There's nothing like menu in most of our schools now. Because at a point in time, it's true that you may have some particular kind of food. You may have maize at a time. At a point in time, you may have rice, plenty, but the maize is not there. So what it means is that you have to substitute all maize-related meals with the rice. By the time the rice is coming, by the time the maize is coming, the rice is gone. So this is one of the things that creates the imbalances, you know, in the system.
Wow.
So you realize now, so with the emergency supply thing that I referred to, there was a time people were not supplying. The suppliers were not supplying. Now we wrote, and that was in 2022, we wrote to the minister at that time to address the issue. It went on up to 2023, as late as 2023. And this letter, the other letter I'm holding, is dated 1st June 2023.
Mm.
And we wrote again to the Honorable Minister through the Director General, citing one more issue that cropped up. That is the distribution of food at food centers, which is still currently in place. Now, when this emergency supply thing was indicated, instituted, the understanding at that time that we got from the free HHS was that the emergency thing had come because the suppliers were not supplying. So they actually gave the mandate at that time for the regional free HHS coordinators to go to the market and buy the food items and supply to the schools directly until such a time that they are able to normalize and negotiate on the prices and normalize the issues.
Mm.
And that was the time these zonal centers were created. So it was supposed to be a temporal measure to normalize the issue and then supply the food items. Because as for issue supply of food items, right from the time schools were even collecting their own fees and up to the inception, the initial stages of the inception of the pre-HHS, once you are a supplier, you bring the food to the school.
Mm. Mm.
You cannot ask schools to go back to zonal centers and pick the food items, because that comes at an extra cost for the school, which it is not currently catered for by anybody.
Mm.
It's not currently catered for. And it's something, again, that we have. So in the June letter, we pointed the attention of the minister. Subsequently, the explanation was given that it was a temporal measure.
Okay.
We pointed to the issue of underweight.
So I mean, you mentioned that you have maize. Aside maize, what else do you have currently in your school?
Are you talking about my school?
Yes. Aside maize, I want to do something. So, aside the maize, what else do you have?
Yes. For my school, if I want to talk of my school, I have. Aside maize, I have rice. Rice is zero. Gari is zero. Mackerel. I have mackerel. I have sardine. 14 cartons. I have milk. Interestingly, milk. I have only received milk after 2 years now. So I was really excited getting milk, after 2 years. And it was, for some schools, they had it. Some schools had it. But generally, in the Northern Belt, in Upper West in particular, milk is something that has been very, very scarce among us. Surprisingly, some other areas, they have those ones. And these are the disparities, which are also part of the current, challenges.
Mm.
I don't have oil. I don't have Tom Brown.
Okay.
I don't have soya bean. Mm-hmm. I don't have soya bean, which is very common here. I don't have granules. Granules is another scarce commodity, more scarce than cocaine, as far as our supplies are concerned these days. It's something that we hardly, get. Mm. So these are some of the challenges.
Mm.
And as for the quality of the food, of course, if you have a situation like I have, you don't need a soothsayer, to tell you the situation that, will be confronting us, right?
Mm.
In fact, one of the things that we seek to understand as CHARS is why there are disparities in the supply of food items, as far as the schools are concerned.
Okay.
We seem not to understand whether the situation is coming from the, because for now, in Upper West, for example, Buffer Stock has, has stopped operations for more than a year now.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
But I mean, the supplies you have, how long will it last you, your school?
Oh, virtually, if you take my school, for example, rice. If we look at the menu that has been
I mean to ask you that what you have currently, you don't have rice, you have maize, you have 14 cartons of sardine, milk, and I'm asking that with that what you have now, how long will it take your school to get finished?
If a miracle doesn't happen, I think in the next I can't even survive a week. I only pray that it happens. Of course, we are in constant touch with our pre-HHS coordinators.
Okay.
He's aware of the current situation, and we know. We only pray. This cannot last. This certainly cannot last. Even the maize you are talking about, I have 41 bags. That was even this morning. I did distribution. I issued food items. And we consume about 14 bags of maize in a week. So if you supply 14 from 41, you can imagine what is happening now.
Right.
And that's the only one that I have.
Okay.
That's maize I have, because I don't have rice. In any case, I don't want to limit it to Jirapa Senior High.
Yeah.
But this is the general picture.
Okay. Thank
you. This is general picture. And I actually referred you to the history of the food items.
Yeah, I get it. I'm grateful to you that you've been able.
Los mejores viajes nacen en la carretera. Pero este comenzará en tu mente. ¿Escuchas ese rugido? ¿Sientes la experiencia de poder? ¿La emoción de la libertad? ¿Ya estás preparado para vivir
tu nueva aventura. Nueva Ram 1500. Hecha para vivir. Ram es una marca registrada de FCA US LLC.